Podcast Network Asia. Network Asia.
Migs Bustos, Cheska Litantalao. This is Off the Record.
Hello, online world. Hello, KOTR. This is Off the Record with Migs
and Cheska. And it is another Monday with this new season, shortened season of Off the Record. And I'm so happy that we got our show rolling again, Migs.
Mm-hmm. And of course, for this episode, another Monday po. So I hope lahat ng mga ka-OTR. For tonight, we have a special guest because he is an Olympian who performed and played at the Tokyo 2020 Tokyo Olympics. He finished 11th, the only Asian to do so, to finish in the top 13 sa mga pole vaulters around the world. Introducing to you everyone, EJ Obiana. Sup, EJ?
Hey, you guys.
Hey, EJ. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, EJ. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I know it's 6 hours behind because you're based now in Formula Italy. And many months have passed. And then you've had competitions also after the Olympics. Can you tell us the whole year of 2021 in a nutshell? EJ, go ahead.
I think it was the most consistent year I've ever performed. You know, I've jumped 580 almost every competition excluding Tokyo Olympics. I achieved a couple of milestones that I definitely can be proud of. Getting the Asian record, you know, breaking the national record multiple times, and that's definitely something that I'm very, very proud of. I mean, it's a bit of a, if you put it in a less words, it's a bittersweet kind of year for me. You know, sweet because I was able to get this medals, this wins, but then a little bit bitter because, you know, the time that I should be performing my best is in Tokyo, and unfortunately it didn't end up the way I wanted it to. So yeah, bittersweet.
Obviously we are seeing this from a fan's perspective, because to us Filipinos, just seeing you on the world stage, seeing you do your thing and perform so well, we're already ecstatic, we're already screaming, we're already crying, because we're just amazed seeing you. But to hear you talk about your personal experience, obviously there's a disconnect for us, because you hold yourself to a higher standard. But, you know, when it comes to the kind of support that you felt, were we Filipinos able to make you feel how proud we are and how amazed we are?
Definitely. So here's a fun fact. After Tokyo, I went straight to our ex-secretary general, Terry Capistrano. I went to his, you know, his room. I wanted to talk to him, you know, just kind of get a heads up and, you know, feel how actually is. And I was a bit scared to open my phone because I've been aiming, and I do believe, to win a medal. And then I ended up, you know, not even getting close to that medal. And I was so worried that I would be, judged in a way. I would be a little bit, you didn't represent the Philippines the way it should be, you know, like all of this. I was really worried. And then, you know, after that, the moment I opened social media, see people like, you know, very happy, and they're so proud of me, especially, you know, fighting for my right during the competition. You know, it's a different, it's totally opposite, basically. It's like I don't know. And, you know, there's like fun things, you know, my socks and everything kind of got brought up. And I'm just like, you know, I can't say it enough how much I appreciate my fans, especially the Filipino ones. Because normally when I do competitions outside of the country, I'll see a Philippine flag somewhere there, like a small one, you know, like they're cheering. There might not be the biggest group out there, but, you know, it's always been something special. Nah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's an indescribable feeling. I can't, can't say that enough, because I think it's very difficult to put it into words and how that makes me feel. And, you know, every time I step on the track and I see my flag being waved by, you know, and cheering for me.
EJ, going to a little bit of news, a few months ago, actually a few weeks into a couple of months ago, 593 in Austria, your best record as of yet, Asian record, and we saw the video that was uploaded on social media. Para siya ano eh, in the city, tapos ang daming nanonood, nighttime. Can you take us through that moment? Kasi kami hindi namin ma-imagine. We don't know what it's like. But can you take us through the moment when you hit 593?
I mean, I love, first, as you said, you know, I love that kind of surrounding. The way the fans is so close to me and, you know, I feel the clap, you know, and you feel it. Like, you really feel the crowd, like, moving in sync into that beat, you know. When I asked for that clap to kind of bring my rhythm in, you feel that. Like, literally, you feel it. Like, it's not a figure of speech. You feel it. Like, the crowd is, like, breathing in and out and, like, it's all in sync. And this kind of puts you in the zone. Like, what I mean by in the zone, it's like I forget everything. I just let loose and let my, you know, my technique, my the years of training just kind of set free. There's no overthinking about stuff. I'm just thinking about, okay, I need to make this bar. What's the best thing to do? This one. Then I just kind of let it go. And like, I feel everything. It's a little bit slower. It's not exaggeration. It is like how I felt. Like, it's really a little bit slower, a little bit more exciting for me. And the thing is, it was a clutch move as well. It was my last attempt to make the 93. It was my third. The first one was so close. I literally look up. The bar was still there, shaking, and then it fell down. And I was just like, dang, didn't want to stay. And then the second one was not as good of an attempt. And then the third one, I actually nicked it a little bit. You know, it was shaking as well. And I was looking, I remember, I was not even touching the pit. I swear it was slow motion. I was looking right, then left, and I saw it wasn't falling. Then when I hit the mattress, I looked up again. I just want to make sure that I was like, yes, let's go. Like, I hit it, you know. It was just out of this world. My emotions were just overflowing. But then in a snap, suddenly I was just like, you made 93 now, but why weren't I able to make it in Tokyo? That's why I went down to the ground and I started like smacking the pit, because I was just like, you know, I'm capable of doing this. Why did I not bring this on the biggest stage of my career at the moment? And that's why I said it's a bit of a bittersweet. You know, it showed me what I'm able to do, but at the same time, it showed me what I could have had if I made that in the, you know, in Tokyo. And yeah, I mean, it's something to keep me hungry for what's to come.
Is that why you posted those five words? I want it, that's why.
Yeah, because there's a lot of question, you know, a lot of things going in the background, a lot of things that actually doesn't need to be brought out. But you know, it's not an easy task, and you know, I live a nomadic kind of life here. I'm staying in a place in a small city here in Italy, in the middle of nowhere, where like we have literally one super, like one big like SM supermarket in the Philippines. You know, it's literally in the middle of nowhere. Just focus on training. You know, I need to eat what I need to eat. I can't go out. You know, I can't even see my girlfriend. I have like a week off, you know, let's say, but I still need to do my therapies. And that, you know, it's a very, my life is not very interconnected to a lot of things. And to be able to commit, it's a lot of questions. Like, how am I supposed to do this? How am I going to continue? Who's going to fund me? What's going to happen the next 3 years? You know, all of this stuff. It's a lot of whys and how and what. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a question of if I want it or not. Because if I want it, I'm going to make it work. You know, whatever it is that's in front of me, I'll make it. I'll go around it. I'll break it. I'll manage, basically, if I want it. That's why I said, you know, yeah, there's a lot of whys and a lot of hows, but I want it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm still doing it.
Can you take us through, EJ? You kind of touched it a bit about your life there in Formia, Italy. But for the ones who are watching, who are listening also, to our podcast right now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. What is it like? What is the life of a pole vaulter like, especially for you, EJ, day to day?
I mean, if I do it like 2 weeks, it's very fun because, you know, we pole vaulting is so complex that we train a lot of different variables of the vault. But then if you do it for the, I mean, like 6 years, 7 years in a row, you know, it gets very repetitive. It gets a little bit, you know, gets stuck in your head. And, you know, it's not easy knowing that, let's say at the end of the workout, I'll be on my knees throwing up on the side. You know, those kind of pain that I know I need to go through to be able to do what I do. I mean, my life here is very, very simple. I wake up around 7:30 or 8 in the morning. I cook my breakfast. I eat, and then I basically sit on my computer, check if I need to do answer some emails, do some paperwork for my federation, this and that. And basically at around 9:30, 10, I'll be at the track until 1 p.m. and then actually eat after that. Then go to the, basically there's like a cafeteria there. I eat. I go back home around 1:30, 2, around 2 p.m. Back home, stay here, check if I need to do anything in connection to Philippines, because that's around 8 p.m. normal time here in Europe. Check if I need to submit anything, try to rest if I can, then back at 4, I'm back in the track. I'm there in the track until maybe 7:30, 8 p.m. Eat dinner, go back here, take a shower, sleep. So it's a very, you know, it's a non-glamorous kind of lifestyle, but it is what I believe it takes to be able to perform the way I'm performing and to be able to improve. So it's not nothing to complain about, you know. Not fun, don't get me wrong. It's I'll choose Manila any single day, be able to get out with my friends at night. But yeah, this is what it takes to get there. And yeah, I know I need to pay that price.
Hi, I'm Iba Bernardo,
Jolly Alarcon,
and Bak Pago.
Kami ang host ng Tunay na Rider, the number one motorcycle podcast in the Philippines that brings you unfiltered, raw, and authentic takes on motorcycles, riding, and everything in between.
Join the ride! Check out the Tunay na Rider on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now back to this episode.
Speaking of paying that price, you already mentioned a while ago that you live a very nomadic lifestyle. We've seen you all around the world this year competing, and obviously you've been training nonstop as well. You've already set your sights on Paris in 2024. But outside of all of that, where do you find your sense of home?
This might sound cliche. I think right now my sense of home is my team, you know, the people that surrounds me, my coach, my physios, you know, the people who I interact with every single day. Don't get me wrong, Philippines is my home. That's where my family is. But right now, you know, the people, the support system that I have the most is the people that I deal with every single day. And I'm very, very thankful for my coach, you know, having my back and every twist and turns and whatever that I need to do. And then the physio who always there to kind of support me, make sure that I'm in my perfect shape to be able to perform. You know, it's not just a plain black and white kind of relationship that he's my coach, you know. It revolves everything around it. And, you know, my life kind of is right now in this certain stage that, you know, I need to depend on these people. And they depend on me. And I think that's what I'm going to base as right now is my home, my place to be.
I want to ask about your family support, EJ. Of course, they're in the Philippines, but you got to see your dad, one of maybe your coaches. I mean, like Okay, para talagang coach mo talaga, 'di ba? I mean, like,
yes,
and he was with you in Tokyo.
Yeah.
What was it like, you know, being under his wing and his guidance, especially in the Olympics?
It's totally different. my dad is my coach, but at the same time, he's my dad. And there's like this fine line that kind of separate them. It's very, you know, very like small. It's like being a father, being a coach. It's very close. It might even be overlapping this and that. Right now, for me during Tokyo, my clear coach is my coach. It's Vitaly Petrov. He's the guy who has trained me for the past three years. He's the guy who's going to call the shot during the game. But my dad was there. You know, he knew me longer than anyone else since I was born. And he was just there, you know, to kind of me being at my best, you know, like knowing how I kind of deal with everything. You know, that's what he, I believe, was the biggest influence for me in Tokyo. You know, he was making sure that everything was as smooth as it can be, nothing crazy that's going to be popping in my, you know, in my face. That's something that's very, how do you say, nakakaba, kumbaga. So, siya talaga yung, I depend on him. Siya bagay na mga, to make sure that everything falls into place. And, you know, it's my dad. I'm very happy to see him, even if, you know, we're not very mushy kind of relationship, you know. We're very straightforward kind of. Me and my dad, our dynamics is like that, you know. Because as I said, he was my coach growing up until I was jumping 5 meters. So, you know, that line of being a dad and a coach was always been merged with me.
When it comes to, sorry, now that obviously anyone who talks to you can immediately sense that when you say that you're focusing on something, you're really going to focus on something. You lay out plans and you do whatever it takes to fulfill those plans. But has there ever been a time where you felt like you kind of, you know, couldn't figure out which direction to head into? How were you able to recalibrate and refocus?
I mean, that's actually happens more times than I can count. I think having a plan is good, but you know, I need to kind of balance it out. As I said, going to Tokyo, there's a lot of things that were in my control. Some made it to the news, some didn't. Some are hidden, some whatnot. Like, you know, I that time, my mindset was just the only thing that's keeping me. You know, if the moment I agree or I accept that something's not going my way or something's not going the way it should be, I believe, I think that's already me one step, you know, putting my feet on that excuse, you know, this didn't happen. That's why I ended up like this, you know, and I don't want to be that, you know. I'm just like, yeah, I'll make the most of what I'm given. Then let's reflect on that afterwards. You know, I don't want to be going into the biggest championship, the biggest stage of my career, doubting myself because, oh, something didn't happen. These are new posts. You know, I'm not used to them. Or you know, oh, I didn't sleep right last night. You know, I don't want to be thinking about that during the game. So whatever happened that was not supposed to happen or what went wrong, I was just, in my head, it was, okay, this is all part of the plan. This is what's going to make it sweeter. This is what's going to make it better. This is what's going to make my journey special. And, you know, that kind of mindset, I believe, gave me at least somehow of a fighting chance in whichever situation I'm dealt with. And I'm sure in the next 3 years going to Paris, there's going to be a lot of things that's not going to go my way. But you know, I'm going to have that mindset as well, that that's what it takes. And this is something that I want. This is something that I need to make it work. So no complaints about it.
EJ, maiba naman ako. I see on your social media and your Instagram, I saw a dunking video of you. I saw also you playing tennis, right?
Yeah.
So maybe just a little bit of something different. Who are your sports idols? Basketball idols? Tennis idols?
Basketball, I mean, it depends, you know. Like, I believe like these icons in basketball is very, they have their distinctive strengths and weaknesses. Like LeBron is just an all around great player, great person, you know. That in itself is a different kind of ability to manage. And then Michael Jordan was just a straight out killer out there in the court. You know, the way he perceives everything is like, as the meme said, he took it personal. But, you know, like that kind of killer mindset is really amusing for me. And, you know, that's something I actually try to imitate and try to learn. You know, so those two definitely. And Kobe is a different kind of guy, you know, the way he sees things. And he said, you know, why I could still compete, why I play during the games while I'm injured, it's because I don't know if there's a kid out there that actually paid for that ticket and I'm going to sit out the game. You know, that's a different, I take that and I try to, you know, see that it's that level of, you know, that level of them being able to still perceive those kind of things. It's mind-blowing. It's a definitely humbling instances. And in tennis is a mental game. That I'm not that good, but the mental side of tennis is something that I really, really love. And I really love Roger, Nadal, Djokovic. But right now, if I'm going to say mental-wise, it's Djokovic that I'm leaning on. You know, the way he bounced back after that mishap in 2020 US Open. And then now after the, you know, losing a slam three straight sets and now winning Paris just a few days ago. You know, that's a different kind of mindset, just being able to bounce back and, you know, get back into it and believe yourself that you're capable. Oh God, he is the best at that, in my opinion. Roger, you know, the way he played, the way he carried himself in and out of the court, speechless. Nadal, the way he fights every single ball that he takes, you know, it's these kind of things I think makes like athletes, the next generation of athletes, look up to. And this is something I myself still am trying to learn and trying to actually be able to live by, and, you know, take these traits and virtues that these champions, these icons, and actually be able to live with it and live by it every single day. It's a work in progress, but I love them all.
Sorry. See, now I kind of want to ask EJ about every other athlete that he looks up to, because I was blown away by his breakdown of every single athlete. Do you want to host the show?
I like the comparison on LeBron, Kobe and Jordan, tapos Nadal, Djokovic, Federer into his own, diba?
No, seriously, we might make a third co-host work. Like, come on now.
May breakdown. Ganda.
That was amazing.
Ang galing. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. But see now, who else are the other athletes? No, but see, you talk a lot. You mentioned this so many times that they're the mental aspect, the way they think, the way they bounce back, all of that. But are you aware that you already do these things yourself? Do you realize that you have imbibed that culture within you as well?
I probably sometimes, yeah, I do. After some instances, yeah, I do believe, like, okay, I embody this virtue, this trait. But as I said, you know, I'm still a work in progress. You know, it's not like every single day I can be, you know, like Michael Jordan going in the track and like, okay, I'm gonna win this. You know, you fight for the second and third, this is mine. Sometimes, you know, I get into the field, it's not like that. It's a work in progress. Definitely I'm learning from them, and I'm very, very humbled to hear that you believe that I embody these virtues. And sometimes I do feel like I do, but not in every single step of the way. And, you know, I still have this different kind of perspective, definitely, than all of them. Yeah.
All right. So EJ, congrats on a good season still. You know, after the Olympics, definitely you have bounced back, broke Thank records, you. And of course, looking forward to another season in 2022. I know that's going to be a packed one. So, what's it going to be like for you in 2022, and how are you preparing now for Paris 2024 Paris Olympics?
So I'm still taking it one step at a time. Right now I'm looking at the nearest championship, which is the World Indoors in March in Belgrade. But at the same time, I have the Asian Indoor. So I believe I need to kind of prepare my indoor season based on those two major championships and choose my competitions accordingly related to those. So that's the closest one. But, you know, we're already told my coach, you know, I want to medal in all of these championships. So there's like five major championships right now. So let's start with the Asian Indoor in February, World Indoor in March, and then I have the Southeast Asian Games in May, I have in World Championship in July, and then I have the Asian Games in August, late August if I'm right, or September. This is where my coach is amazing at. So, you know, he's the guy who has have 35 world records, multiple world championship, multiple Olympic medals, and he knows how to prepare me to be able to perform in each and every, you know, competitions. So yeah, I discussed it to him. He basically said one thing to me: yeah, you're gonna be dead in every single training, but are you sure you want to do this? I was just like, I'm here, that's why I'm here, you know. I didn't go back home, so I'm here. Yeah, let's do it, you know. Yeah, that's why I love with this guy. If I'm going to analyze him the way I analyze my idols, I think he's a different kind of animal as well. You know, he's 76 years old. I still question myself what makes this guy tick, what makes this guy drive and still be in like 6 hours in the track at 76 years old. You know, it's still mind boggling. I still haven't figured him out, but you know, that's an inspiration I live by every single day and see him go to the track, and I can't be in the track and like, okay, I don't want to train. And then there's this 76 year old guy. It's like, let's go train. How, you know, that's just me analyzing him. So it's,
you can give a shout out, EJ. You can give a shout out.
Like, what do you mean? Like, well, if he's going to listen to this, I just want to let him know that, you know, I'm very thankful for whatever he has given me. And I'm forever in debt to him. You know, he brought me to this stage, the point where I actually can influence the next generation as well. And I'm actually able to perform at the best of my abilities. But at the same time, just being with me day in, day out, going through all the ups and downs of my career, of my day-to-day life. Very thankful for having someone like that by my side and be able to trust him fully about every single thing. It's not just 10 kilos, like a lot of weight off my shoulder.
All right, EJ, we know that you're busy with training and you have so many things ahead of you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the show. But before we let you go, do you have a message to all your fans, to all your supporters, to everyone watching?
To everyone that has been with me throughout the journey and, you know, so watching and looking every single day to my competition, I just want to say thank you so much. And I really, really appreciate you guys. And sometimes, you know, there are days that I don't want to push myself. I draw on that. I draw on the people that believes in me. I draw on the people that supports me. So whenever I take a medal, whenever I win, whenever I break a record, that's not just I believe it's ours. It's ours. And thank you. Thank you so much. And I'll see you around.
All right. There you have it. Olympian pole vaulter from Formia, Italy. Straight from Formia, Italy, EJ Obiena. Maraming salamat, EJ, for joining us here. Taking time off to join Off the Record. Maraming salamat. So this has been Off the Record with Migs.
And Cheska. And we will see you guys again next Monday for another episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.